This morning I want to talk to you about the world's only hope in the last days. The world's only hope in the last days. I want you to go with me to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Then we're going to go to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 18 through 23 and then we're going to go to chapter 4. Verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father." Go with me to chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world." I want you to notice in the scriptures that we just read that there are three different usages of the word Antichrist. The one thing these scriptures have in common is we're talking about the Antichrist. And John uses three different usages for this word. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world." And in this verse, I'm emphasizing the words, this is that spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. So here we're not talking about a particular person. What we're talking about is the demonic powers that are in our world today that are propagating, that are spreading false truth about who Jesus really is. And if you notice in this scripture, John says that this spirit is already here working in our world today. That this demonic spirit was both in John's generation, throughout every generation down to our generation. This demonic spirit has been here to resist the truth of who Christ is. Now, go with me to chapter 2 and look with me at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come." And what I want you to recognize in what we just read in this scripture is John uses the singular usage. So who is he referring to in this scripture? He's referring to the Antichrist. He's referring to the world leader that will rise up in the great tribulation and who will lead the world, a man who is energized by Satan himself. That's who John is referring to. And then John goes on to say, look with me again at verse 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come." Then he says, "Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last days." So then he goes from talking about the Antichrist, and then he goes and says, in our last days, there are many Antichrists. So who are the many Antichrists John is referring to? The many false teachers in the world that are leading others away from the truth of Christ. All the false teachers of all the false religions. Beloved, every false religion and every false doctrine operates under the spirit of Antichrist. This satanic source that is seeking to propagate, to spread false truths about who Jesus is. So let's just do a brief review here. There are three different Antichrists John talks about, though energized by the same satanic source. There's the spirit of Antichrist, there's the Antichrist, and then the many false teachers in our world today. Now notice John also gives us the time of these antichrists. Look at chapter 2, verse 18, one more time. It says, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And in verse 18, John uses the word last time twice. And that word time in the original language is hour. Hour, the last hour. So what is the last hour? Well, the last hour is the time period between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. That's the last hour. That time period between Jesus' first coming and his second timing. So his second coming. So John's generation was in the last hour, and our generation is in the last hour. And what we need to understand is this. The closer we get to the second coming of Christ, the more we will see many antichrists in our world. The more false teachers we will see, the more false doctrines we will see, the more we will see the truth of who Christ is being attacked, the more we will see our world turning its back on the truth of who Christ is. All this is going to happen the closer and closer we get to the second coming of Christ. Now here's what the Lord wants us to understand this morning. The core essence of Antichrist, whether it's the spirit of Antichrist, or the world leader during the tribulation, or the many false teachers in our world today, the core essence of them all is the rejection of the truth of who Jesus really is. The satanic spirit behind it all, its number one objective, its number one consuming drive, is to cause everyone it can in the earth to reject the truth of who Jesus is. Look with me again at verse 22. Verse 22 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So according to verse 22, what is the antichrist's message? What is his overall message when you look at what John just said? His message is simply this. Jesus is not who he says he is. Don't believe who he says he is. Don't believe who the church says he is. It is not true. That is his overall message. That is the passion that is on his heart. Now, beloved, what I'm about to say is going to be very strong. But it's said with much love, and it's said in obedience to the Lord. There's something that we need to understand. When we look at these scriptures and look at what's happening in the spiritual realm, what is happening in our world today, there's something that we need to understand. If we don't understand it, we will not be a praying church. We will not be a warring church. We will not be a people busy about reaching our community and our world for Christ if we don't understand this. What we will be is a complacent people, an apathetic people, a church full of selfish people if we don't understand this. We will be a church full of selfish people if we don't understand this. Here's what we need to understand. In our world today, there is a war going on. These antichrists, whether it be the spirit or false teachers or false doctrine, is Satan's attempt to convince the world that Jesus is not who he claims to be. He is at war with Christ. He is at war with Christ's church. And his consuming passion is to convince the world that Christ is not who he declares himself to be. Christ is not who the church declares Christ to be. Beloved, the question that's on my heart is this. Do you know that there is a war going on right now in our world today? Do you know that? Well, then I know people said yes out loud, and I know people said yes in their heart. So I guess an equally important question is, if you know that, then are you truly in that war? Is our church truly in that war? And again, if your answer is yes, then the question I have to bring out is this. Then what is the proof in your life that you are truly in this war? What is the evidence? You said yes. What is the evidence in your life you are truly in this war? And ultimately, what is the evidence in this church we are truly in this war? Understand, we said the spirit of Antichrist that is in our world today is Satan's attempt to convince the world that Jesus is not who he claims to be. And beloved, we see the evidence so plainly in our world today. We see the truth of Christ being attacked in our government. We see the truth of Christ being attacked in our education and our schools. We see the truth of Christ being attacked in our culture. In every facet of our nation, the truth of Christ is being attacked. Nothing has been left untouched. Nothing. Beloved, nothing in our nation, from entertainment to politics, has been left untouched by the enemy attacking the truth of Christ. Nothing. And I just heard recently that in some places in Europe, I heard my wife say this, and some of you probably already know it, but let me bring it out. Some places in Europe, there's a law that has been put in effect that says if you are going to be eligible to adopt parentless children, you are required to teach them that homosexuality is healthy and an alternate lifestyle. Now hear that. I have no doubt in my mind that if Jesus doesn't come back soon, it will find its way in the heart of America. It will. Laws are now being passed that if you're going to adopt children, you have to be willing to teach them that homosexuality is a healthy lifestyle and it's an alternate. It's an alternate lifestyle. So brothers and sisters, let's get down to it. What's really happening here? Let me tell you what's happening here. This satanic spirit is after the orphans. It's after the orphans. In other words, what is happening here? It is the devil seeking to take Christ away from the orphans. That's what it's all about. You got to understand, the orphans is the passion of God's heart. He said, listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, pure religion, undefiled, is this: to take care of the widows and the orphans. Listen, you cannot come any closer to the heart of God than giving an orphan a godly home and a godly heritage. So what is this spirit after? It's after taking Christ away from the orphans. It's after taking the reality of who Jesus is away from the orphans. And I know in my heart, with all my heart, because now we're talking about a subject that means a lot to me, if something doesn't happen in our nation, that spirit will be here. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And he's after all the orphans. And what is the bottom line? What does it all come down to? What is Satan really after? He is attacking the truth of Christ on every front. Ultimately, what is he after? Look at verse 22 again, and we're going to read through verse 23. Ultimately, what is this Antichrist spirit after? Verse 22 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Listen, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Stop there. This is what John is saying. Very simply, he's saying this. You cannot be saved if you reject the truth of who Jesus is. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. You cannot be saved if you reject who Jesus says he is. So in other words, ultimately, what is he after? He's after the souls of men. He's after the souls of women. If you deny who Jesus is, you cannot be saved. Beloved, we see Christ removed from our government. We see Christ removed from our schools. We see Christ removed from our culture. But it's not about the people doing these things. It's about the spirit behind them. It is Satan doing all he can to remove the truth of Christ because he's after souls. That's what he's after. It's not about corrupt politicians taking prayer out of the school. That's horrible. And as a church, we need to stand against it, especially in prayer, when we know the spirit behind it. But what it is about is the spirit behind it. To reject Christ is to reject salvation. And that's what he's after. He's after the souls of men, women, people, our children. Okay, Pastor Tim, these are powerful truths and I understand them. What exactly is the purpose of this message? Okay, what's the purpose of your message this morning? What is God trying to tell us? The purpose of this message is twofold. Number one, to draw us back to the firm conviction of who Jesus Christ really is. To call us back to be passionate about who He really is. That's what I feel in my heart. One more time, God is calling us to be passionate about who He is. To one more time challenge the places of complacency and apathy in our lives. To challenge the places of complacency, of apathy in our church. And one more time to be passionate about who Jesus is. So who is Jesus? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He is the one who defeated death and the devil and has given eternal life. He is the one who took the wrath of God upon Himself on the cross, that eternal heaven may be granted to all that put their faith in Him. He is the only means of salvation for a lost, fallen, sinful world. And not only is He the only salvation for a fallen world, but He's my Savior. He's the one who died for my sins on the cross. He's the one that loved me and sacrificed His life for me, that I might live with Him forever and ever. He's the one that rose again from the dead and promised, because I live, you shall live also, and I love Him, and I'm passionate about Him. The purpose of this message one more time is to call us back to one more time being passionate about Jesus. Passionate about everything He says He is. Passionate about everything He is. To call us back to being passionate about Him. To confront the apathy in our hearts. The complacency in our hearts. That apathy and complacency that rises up in the heart when it's time to worship Him and to love Him. The apathy in our hearts that causes us to shut our hearts down when His Word is being preached. The apathy that is in our hearts. One more time, God is calling us to be passionate about Jesus. Understand, the cross is too real. My salvation is too real. The Holy Ghost in my life is too real. The intimacy He called me to is too real. My robe of righteousness is too real. My adoption into His family is too real. The communion of the Holy Spirit is too real. The promises of God are too real. The mansion waiting for me in heaven is too real. To have any place of complacency in our lives and in our church. It's too real. Beloved, God's people, in this last hour, we should be a church passionate about Jesus and who He is. Passionate. Lord, forgive us of allowing our hearts to grow cold. Forgive us of all the times we come to church and we sit in Your presence with apathy in our hearts. No fire in our worship. No fire in our prayers. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. What is the purpose of this message? Number one, to call us back to a place being passionate again about Christ. And number two, to understand the world's only hope in these last days is a church and a people passionate about Christ and standing in the love of God, declaring the truth of Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost. The world's only hope in these last days against this spirit is a people that are passionate about Jesus and declaring the truth of the Word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority and power over the demonic realm. Do you know that? Do you know that? We have authority and power over the demonic realm. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Look with me at verse 6. Story about Paul and Barnabas. First missionary journey, something that happened. Verse 6 says, "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Deputy meaning governor. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt not see in the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the governor, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Beloved, without going through all the details, let me just begin this way. In this account, we see a sorcerer filled with the spirit of Antichrist. That's what you need to see. This man is filled with the spirit of Antichrist. He's a man given over and filled with the very spirit of the devil, seeking to turn men from the truth. The Bible says this sorcerer withstood Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn the deputy, the governor, Epaphras, from the faith. And a heavenly authority comes upon Paul, and the Bible says Paul sets his eyes on him. Beloved, we need to set our eyes upon the demonic realm that is seeking to turn our generation from the truth of Christ. We need the Holy Ghost to put a fight in our hearts and to bring us to prayer. We're in the spirit realm. We come face to face with the enemy and bind him in the spiritual realm. I believe that is the passion of God's heart in this message. Exactly what we see Paul doing. That is what he's calling his church to do in this hour. With spirit that's so prevalent over the land. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit set my heart aflame because he spoke something to my heart. In a clear, powerful voice, he spoke to me and he said, Tim, I'm looking for a people and a church to confront the powers of hell through. A people who know the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. And in prayer, I can lift them into the high places, bring them face to face with the enemy and bind his power over the lives of men. You see, this governor on Paphos was under the demonic influence of this sorcerer. And Paul, ignited by the Holy Spirit, set his eyes upon him, came face to face with him, and obliterated this demonic force over this man's life. And this is the passion of the Holy Spirit's heart. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of war, and he longs to find a church that believes in the power of prayer, and they pray. And when they go to prayer, he lifts them into the high places to trample down the high places, to bind up the spirit of the devil in the high places and break the demonic powers over the lives of people. That's his heart. In these last days, when it comes to dealing with that Antichrist spirit that's seeking to turn men away from the truth, resist the truth, the passion of the Holy Spirit's heart is to find a people he can lift up into the high places in prayer, bring them face to face with the enemy, and in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, bind the enemy in the lives of people. That's his passion. Beloved, when we read the book of Acts, the one truth we see over and over again is that the Holy Spirit is a warring spirit. He is a confronting spirit. He is an infilling spirit when demons raise their head. And he's looking for a people that will set the high places on fire with the spirit of prayer. You know, when I was preparing this message, I saw it. It was as clear as a vision. I'm not saying it was a vision, but it was as clear as a vision. In my mind and in my spirit, I saw it. I saw the high places and I saw it was just red with fire. There was a fire raging in the high places. It was red and I could see the smoke and I could see the fire. And in my heart, I felt the Lord saying, Tim, I want to put such an unction on my people to pray. If they just have faith in their heart that this is my heart and they go to prayer and there's an unction upon them, they will set the high places on fire by the spirit of prayer. The Holy Spirit is a fiery spirit that sets the high places ablaze when His people pray. I love that about this message this morning. I saw that in my spirit. He is a fiery spirit that will set the high places, that will set the heavens ablaze when His people pray with Holy Ghost unction upon their life. Amen. Isn't that powerful? But did you realize I left out something regarding Paul in this story? Look with me at verse 9 again. It says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. The devil raised his head. The Holy Spirit says, I'm a warring spirit. I am an infilling spirit. Every time demons choose to raise their head. So the devil raised his head, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit filled Paul. When you look at the original word, it means a fresh filling, filled Paul. And with this filling, Paul set his eyes upon him. Now, beloved, this is a truth that's on my heart. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that this New Testament church, this new church in Acts, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's something God put in my heart, and it's simply this. In every generation, the need of the hour is a church filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to catch that. You got to get that in your spirit. I have to get it in my spirit. In every generation, the need of that generation, the need of that hour is a church filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, facing the darkness we're facing, facing the satanic deception we're facing, facing the satanic bondage we are facing, nothing less than a church filled with the Holy Ghost will impact our generation for Christ. Nothing less than a church truly filled with the Holy Ghost will penetrate the strongholds over men's lives. Amen. Facing everything that generation is facing, the need of the hour is a church filled with the Holy Ghost. Beloved, as a church, if our worship is going to be impactful, if our word is going to be impactful, if our prayers are going to be impactful, if our witness is going to be impactful, we must be a people and a church filled with the Holy Ghost. Facing what we are facing, nothing less will penetrate and impact the world that we live in. I believe that's what Acts chapter 2 is saying. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe the Lord is saying from this generation to every generation, the need of the hour, the need of that generation is a church filled with the Holy Ghost. Nothing less will do. Facing the darkness you're facing, a people filled with the Holy Ghost, the church filled with the Holy Ghost. So then the question comes to my heart, well, tell me, Pastor Tim, as Christians and a church, how do we be filled and stay filled with the Holy Ghost? There is one word that God has given me for this message, and you've heard it already. The Holy Ghost feels passionate, people. The Holy Ghost feels a passionate church. The Holy Ghost will not fill a people who are not passionate about Jesus, who are not passionate about the kingdom of God, who are not passionate about seeing His kingdom take more and more ground, who are not passionate about who Jesus really is. He feels passionate, people. And the Lord is saying this morning, when schools and governments and education and culture has kicked Jesus out and denied who He is, I need a people who are passionate about Jesus, passionate about who He is. And in that passion and power of the Holy Ghost, not in might or power, but in passion and power of the Holy Ghost, lifting up the truth of who Jesus is. Anything less will not break that spirit of Antichrist over your generation. Beloved, here's the bottom line that the Lord has put on my heart for this service. If we will be a people in a church that is passionate about Christ, a people who understand this life that He has put into us is too real to allow apathy to sit in our heart, a people who will walk with Him in true intimacy, then He will visit our lives and He will visit our church and He will fill us with His Spirit. We will be a people and a church aflame with His presence. A candlestick where fresh oil is continually flowing from heaven. We will be a genuine gospel lighthouse where the light is so bright darkness cannot thrive. And as we pray Holy Spirit filled and empowered prayers, the Holy Spirit will lift us up into the high places and set aflame the high places, and our prayers will make a difference in people's eternal destinies. If we will be that people. Beloved, the life that He put in me and He put in you is too real. The life that is in our relationship with Christ, if you've ever tasted it, is too real to allow apathy in the heart, complacency in the heart. And one more time, God is calling us back very lovingly. In this last generation, to be passionate about Jesus again. Who He is. Who He is in our lives. To be passionate about who He is in our lives. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the one that filled me with the Holy Ghost. He's the one that made me a very Son of God. And I'm passionate about who He is in my life. There's no place for apathy in my life. There's no place for apathy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's real, and what He's done in my life is too real. And beloved, what I love about passionate people are people of fire. Leviticus something, Moses, passionate about the Lord, is worshiping the Lord, and suddenly the fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Elijah's up on the mountain and he's walking in obedience and he's calling upon the Lord, and suddenly fire comes and consumes the offering. Passionate people are people of fire. I'm not talking about a fleshly zeal. I'm talking about people of fire. That fire represents the purity of God's presence, the purity of God's life, the purity of God's power in our life. And I'm telling you, when we are a people of passion, there will be fire in our worship. There'll be fire in our prayers. There'll be fire coming from behind the pulpit. We will not be in a place of deadness in our lives when we're passionate about Him. And what we need is Holy Ghost fire. Not talking about human zeal and emotion. That's fine. But we need the purity of His presence here. His power here. In our lives. We're going to impact our generation for Christ. Stand with me this morning.